It's the Revved Up Sports Show with Rodney Rodriguez and Bobby Chaffee on the Horn, where Austin talks sports.
Revved Up ATX on a dreary, foggy Saturday morning. As Saturdays on the Horn roll on. Just had a little bit of the Colonel there. You had Big Ugly Tailgate, had the golf show. And now we talk racing. Talk a little bit of racing, but I mean, it's this is definitely a racing show. Rodney Rodriguez with you. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at RevedUpATX, and of course the station at the Horn ATX. Specs text line is going to be open throughout this program, 512-337-3776. We want your thoughts as we go on throughout this hour of radio, and just so many hot topics. And yes, I will talk racing. That is the gist of this program, but just other things. Texas is off this week. Obviously, the Saturday lineup rolls on because the Longhorns aren't in action. And that's probably a good thing from what we've seen here lately. Everyone has an opinion on this, and I'm no different. You know, there's just so many moving parts and pieces and the situation there. You've got a situation that seems extremely broken there with the Texas football program at the moment. You've got two sides of this, and it's the question of leadership. We hear the Colonel talking all the time about leadership. I was just talking to him out in the hallway, and leadership is what is lacking here at this point. And we're only going to hope that this gets on the right track and that we're at a point that this can be resolved with the Texas football program, because there's still a lot of season to go. There's supposed to be a game against Baylor next week, which you'll hear right here. It's set for 2:30, 4-hour pregame coming up before that, but there's a Baylor COVID issue there, so we may be here next Saturday. I don't really know what's going to happen there, but you've got a fractured situation happening over at the 40 Acres right now with the Texas program, and it's something that it's been well echoed on this radio station that could have been, I'm not going to say this could have been prevented, couldn't have been, for you know, you never say that, hindsight's 20/20, but obviously this could have been handled a lot different, and it's gotten to where you're at a point in the season where you've got this fractured situation. You've got two or three different sides to all of this, and hopefully it's something that you're going to get on the right track if you're Chris Del Conte and Tom Herman and everyone there. And we'll continue to follow it. We'll continue to be intrigued by it. We'll continue to be angered about it. And wins. You got to get wins. I mean, all of this is going to be happening, but your football team needs to win is what needs to happen when you're talking about your football season. And that all resumes next Saturday right here on the Horn as Texas taking on Baylor. Of course, all of that is based on, depending on what's going to happen with the Baylor program. They've had their COVID situation there as well. Got to talk a little bit of high school football this morning as we come off of, you know, we got Flex ATX, flexatx.com. We just take you all the way through your high school football week. And Snoop Daniel, just tremendous job on Friday nights here in the studio. And he's got folks out in the field, his eye reporters, just everything that happens on Friday. It's good to have that Friday high school football. And thank you to everyone out there that seems to be doing what the UIL has asked them to do, to get out there, wear those masks, social distance. I've seen the inner workings of how these programs are running right now, and to watch these coaches and administrators and everything that they're having to do to make this product happen, to make Texas high school football happen, it's a big applause, a big round of applause that those coaches and administrators need to have, as well as those young kids that are doing their due diligence as well, because it does come down to them. You have to make sure that they're going to be following those protocols and everything that's happening, and it definitely is, because we had a big slate of Texas high school football. Let's take a look at some Central Texas scores from last night. First of all, let's go to Thursday. We had a big 5A matchup. Hendrickson, of course, now going down to 5A D1 and 11-5A Division 1, and we thought we had a big matchup set at the field on Thursday night. Well, Cedar Park rolls in, and Cedar Park is just as good as they've ever been. 66-28, they went over Hendrickson. Other scores, take a look at this one. And these AISD schools, you feel for them. The Travis Rebels taking on Liberty Hill last night. That was an 86-0 contest there, as Liberty Hill wins that game over Travis, and that's just a rough go there for Travis. That's just a rough go for them. Big game in the 5A ranks. Georgetown wins over Manor, 36-26. Georgetown bouncing back after a loss to Cedar Park the week before. How about those Leander Lions? Leander Lions, they go to 5A as well this year, and they win a big one. They win a shootout over Pflugerville last night by a score of 48-47. Hutto finally gets their first game in 6A, in 25-6A, as they take on the McNeil Mavericks, and they notch it with a win. 35-7 was the score there. Glenn, big win over Bastrop. That was a 30-6 contest last night. Game that I was a part of in the IHS Fan Webcast Network with Adam Wagner. Cedar Ridge, 46-14 over Anderson. Don't sleep on that Cedar Ridge team. That Cedar Ridge team has a ferocious defense right now that will come up and hit you in the mouth, and they are really, really good. They're floating under the radar, but if they continue to do what they're doing right now, they're not going to be floating under the radar for very long. Round Rock, who had to have a reschedule based off of the team that I cover, Westwood, they've been off for a couple of weeks. Well, they schedule in San Antonio Cornerstone Christian last night. Round Rock in command of most of this ball game, but when it's all said and done, Cornerstone Christian beats them by a score of 35-31. Big game in 25-6A. Vista Ridge, a lot of attention with All-State quarterback Kyle Brown. Everything that we've watched Kyle Brown and the Vista Ridge program do here in the last year and a half, they roll in. Vandegrift had been undefeated in 13-6A, now 25-6A. They meet up last night at Gupton Stadium, and Vandegrift puts their foot down and says, "We are still the man. We are not ready to be replaced." They beat Vista Ridge by a score of 40-14 last night. Vista Ridge takes on Cedar Ridge next week. That's going to be a good little battle right there. Other action, Lockhart falls to Brian Rutter. That was a 47-37 score. Blanco over Luling, 55-0 the score there. LBJ over Fredericksburg, 35-13 the score of that game. Austin High over Aikens, 51-14. That was senior night. Bowie Bulldogs, you heard it on 105.3. The Bat, Bowie over Del Valle, 35-22. Westlake is rolling. They destroy San Marcos last night, 56-0. A game you heard right here on the Horn. The Hayes Rebels, well, they put up a valiant effort at the end of that one, but it's too much Lake Travis. 70-35, the final score there. So that's just a little review of Texas high school football, some of the games in the area that we saw last night. Really, really good high school football there. Get yourself out to a stadium. You see those stadium lights out if you're out and about on a Thursday or Friday. Go watch these youngsters, support them, and I promise you, you're going to enjoy what you see on the field. Houston Astros, the Astros are battling back. That series is now tied up. You get a Game 7 tonight as the Astros try to make their way back into the World Series. And who the Astros were left for dead there for a while, and I in this series thought that they were left for dead when it's sitting at 3-1, but you have to applaud Dusty Baker. When the Astros, the situation with obviously there with AJ Hinch and everything, the trash can incident, sign stealing, everything that we saw there, the Astros did a tremendous job. They go out and they get a baseball guy. They get good old Dusty Baker. You put him in that place. He has guided this ship, and it's been through injury, and it's been through a lot of different obstacles that the Astros have had to overcome, and they find themselves in a Game 7 tonight. That'll be tonight at 7 o'clock, I think it is. 7:37 is the first pitch. The Astros taking on Tampa Bay with an opportunity to get back to the World Series. Over on the other side in the NLCS, that one is now 3-2 as the Dodgers come back, and Atlanta can try to close it out this afternoon, but Los Angeles is not going to go away. Los Angeles is not going to go away. And I can tell you, as an Astros fan, many years back as a youngster, a long-suffering Astros fan back in the day of the Astros being in the NL, that Atlanta club caused a lot of heartache for Astros fans. How cool would it be to see the Astros take on the Braves in the World Series? But we got to get to that. We've got to get to that. We continue the Nick Saban watch. We've had Rick Saban that was apparently hired to be on the Alabama coaching staff. Is Alabama taking on Georgia tonight? But another negative test for COVID on Friday for Nick, not Rick, for Nick Saban. He'll have another test this afternoon. In all likelihood, that's going to be negative as well. If that happens, you're going to see Nick on the sidelines coming up tonight. So just what he's adding to his legacy right here. And when we go back to the Texas situation, I know there's been a lot of light that's been cast on the Nick Saban situation with everything that's happened there. And we joke about it and we laugh about it, but is that not the leader that you want for your football program? Do you not want a guy? I want to make jokes about my head football coach and say, yeah, they're going to drop him in on a helicopter. He's going to have, you know, folks on the sidelines. He's going to hide out in the bushes. I mean, all the jokes that we have made about Nick Saban, that's what I want my football coach to be. That's the intensity that I want. And when I say that, I'm a Texas Longhorn supporter. That's what I want to see here. That is what I want to see here. So we can laugh all we want, but that intensity right there is why that guy has all those national championships, why Alabama is always really, really good, and why he will be on the sidelines tonight if that's a negative test. So just lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on. We are your home for Dallas Cowboy football right here in Austin. It's a Monday night game tonight, as it will be the Arizona Cardinals heading to AT&T Stadium. They'll take on the Dallas Cowboys, now led by Andy Dalton. We saw the Dak Prescott injury on Sunday, and that's another injury there where you cringe when you see that, and it hurts you, whether you're a Dallas Cowboys supporter or not, whether you like Dak Prescott, or whether you think he should be paid, or you think that he shouldn't be paid, or you think he's overrated, whatever you're thinking right there, you see that, and that just rips your guts out. And to see that he is on the road to recovery, saw the video, and he's going to work to get back. He's going to work to get back. That's what the guy does. The guy overcomes. He's going to make his way back, but I'm here to tell you, let's not cast off Andy Dalton just yet. Andy Dalton's got some really, really good weapons right there. Andy Dalton is a 10-year veteran in this league, and maybe Andy Dalton is what this team needs right now. Maybe he's going to be that coach on the field that can – he can't play defense, for one thing, so I'll go back and preface with saying that, because that seems to be where the issues are. But maybe this isn't so bad of a thing. You've got this Cardinal game, then you're taking on the Washington football team on the road. You're taking on Philadelphia. Those two teams are struggling. They're in the NFC least with the Cowboys. You got Pittsburgh. That's going to be tough. You got a bye. You're at Minnesota. You take on the football team again after that. So this is a stretch right now in a division that is just ripe for the taking, waiting for someone to step up and take it, like Philadelphia did last year. Dallas is in a position where they can make this happen. But to be determined. We'll have to watch that. But prayers to Dak. Hopefully all of that comes back around. All right, you turned this on for racing, so let's talk a little bit about racing. We're into the NASCAR playoffs, and we're into the round. We are into the round of eight. And if you're not familiar with how all of this works, you start with 16, you trim it down to 12, and last Sunday you had the race at the Roval. And what the Roval is, we've talked about it on the show, catch all of the podcasts of this program and all the weekday programming, all the Saturday programming at hornfm.com. Every show is podcast every hour, live local independent radio right there. But we eliminate four drivers last Sunday at the Roval, one of them being Kyle Busch, who is the defending champion of the NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Busch, out of the picture, not going to be fighting for his third Cup championship. A little bit of a surprise, but like I said, the team hasn't won. The team has struggled. The 18 team there for Joe Gibbs Racing. So he's out of the picture. Clint Bowyer is out of the picture. Clint Bowyer announces early in the week that he will be retiring. He'll be going into the Fox television booth, and that is a great addition. Great addition for Fox NASCAR coverage. You've got Clint Bowyer, Clint Bowyer is the guy that likes to sit around and drink Natty Lights, you know, around a campfire. He just likes to sit around, have a good time, maybe have a little bit of moonshine. He just likes to have a good time. The guy is from Emporia, Kansas. He'll run his final race at his home track this weekend. We'll talk about that, previewing that here a little bit later on in the program. And then you've got Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon is the guy that, when you talk about folks that transcended NASCAR, took it into mainstream, and, oh, by the way, a very good broadcaster. And then you've got Mike Joy, who is the anchor, who is one of the greatest ever to call play-by-play racing. You've got this trio that's now going to become your TV booth on Sundays and Saturdays for NASCAR, and it's just a tremendous trio that you're going to have. And there's history there with Gordon and Bowyer. They laugh about it. Go back and go to YouTube and find Phoenix. Find a race in Phoenix. It's probably been 8, 9, 10 years ago where Gordon gets into Bowyer, takes him out. Bowyer jumps out of the car. He is beelining through the pits, and he's going to beat the living daylights out of Jeff Gordon. Gordon goes and hides in the hauler, and it's all said and done. Now they're best buddies. They still joke about it, but it's a great setup there. But the other drivers that you have out of this, Ryan Blaney, he's eliminated in round one. Ryan Blaney is one of the young guns that we talk about on the program. He drives for Penske. He's been solid all year, but this is where it's so much about momentum. It's about momentum in all sports. It's just as much about momentum in NASCAR stock car racing. All of that momentum that we saw from Ryan Blaney, it went away. He's out in round one. William Byron's out. Cole Custer, talked to him a couple of weeks ago. Matt DiBenedetto. Matt DiBenedetto was out in round one. Great call there from the Specs text line about Dale Jr. Absolutely. Dale Jr. over on the other side, on the NBC side. And it's a good balance there because you've got Jeff Burton, you've got Dale Jr., you've got Steve Letarte. You've got some really good TV booths right now. You really have some good stuff there. And what's tremendous to see for me as a lifelong race fan when we talk about these guys that make their transition out of the race car into the television booth is if you go back and look, and that's where we talk about the modern day media training that all of these guys do. They go through so much media training, whether it be with their manufacturer, with their race team, now with their TV networks. You had guys, you go back and you look at the Cale Yarbroughs, and you look at the David Pearsons, and you look at the Junior Johnsons, and those guys, while they were pound for pound the best racers, probably some of the best, arguably, that we've ever seen, they couldn't make that transition. Benny Parsons made that transition, and Benny Parsons did it. Benny Parsons did it like so many of we guys that do a lot of internet radio do. He just picked up a microphone and jumped on, and he had a personality that just electrified the race fans, and he did it, but he did it the hard way. But Dale Jr.'s over on the NBC side, and now with Clint Bowyer on the Fox side coming up in 2021, you've got a good trade-off there. It's not going to be as it has been years in the past where the season hands off. Half of the season is with Fox. They hand it off to NBC. There's been times where Fox hands off the season, and you're like, oh, man, now we're going to NBC. That won't be the case anymore because now you've got good balance there. But Matt DiBenedetto is a guy that was eliminated in round one. And Matt DiBenedetto is another one of those guys like Clint Bowyer. Matt DiBenedetto has earned everything he's ever received. He drives for the Wood Brothers, a satellite team there for Penske Racing. He gets in. He's thrust into this position. He's had really great outings in very subpar equipment in the past. He gets his opportunity here in 2020, and again, 2020 has thrown so many curveballs, you would only expect in a year like this that Matt DiBenedetto is going to get curveballs thrown at him. His status for 2021, unknown. He goes out and he racks up back-to-back runner-up finishes. Probably should have won races at Talladega and at Charlotte. Should have won those races. Good runs at Vegas, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And he gets the ride. He gets the nod. He's coming back next year, at least one more year. So you like to see those great things happen. Specs text line, another good point. Something that's happened during this time that we've been off, that we've had Texas football, and we haven't been live here on Revved Up ATX. Michael Jordan. You've got Michael Jordan that's going to enter the sport of NASCAR. Jordan comes in. He and Denny Hamlin, they acquire one of the charters, and the charters is your pay to play in NASCAR racing. The charter is your PSL if you're a NASCAR team owner. That one gets you pay a lot of money, and it guarantees you that your ride, your car, is going to be in those races on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, they team up, they acquire a charter. Jordan's going to be a NASCAR team owner. Denny Hamlin's still competing. They're not breaking the rules. They're totally not breaking the rules. He will be independent. There will be other people running this new team. Michael Jordan, the team owner. Bubba Wallace is going to be the driver there. So we see the diversity. And Bubba Wallace has caught just a lot of positive feedback here in 2020, but a lot of negative just with everything that's happened. You've had the noose / garage rope that we had back at Talladega that made national news. We saw all of that. But to have Michael Jordan, and the Michael Jordan-Denny Hamlin relationship goes back many years. And a lot of folks have asked me, Michael Jordan, what's his fascination with NASCAR? Where'd he go to college? North Carolina. That is the hub for NASCAR. The guy's been a part of NASCAR. The guy's been at NASCAR races and somehow floated under the radar for years. I say he's going to be there, that he's been there every week, but he's been there many, many times where he's been at the racetrack. He's a NASCAR fan, and now he buys in. He's a team owner. He pulls in Bubba Wallace. This is great. This is great. In a year where NASCAR has taken on every punch that society, a dwindling fan base, dwindling TV ratings, everything that has been thrown at NASCAR at the end of the year or the final stages of the year, when you get a Michael Jordan, the GOAT, the GOAT, that guy, Michael Jordan, not Michael Jordan down the road, not Michael Jordan from Bastrop, Michael Jordan is going to be a team owner When Michael Jordan signs to be an owner in your league, you're doing something right. That changes everything. Changes everything. So Michael Jordan will be a part of NASCAR. Coming up on the other side, have to talk about Kyle Larson. That situation there, it's been well documented. We'll break that down for you. It looks like Larson is set to make his way back into NASCAR. I'll tell you how that's going to happen. That's coming up. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Saturday mornings on the Horn, Revved Up ATX. Sam Pica behind the glass. Sorry, Sam, I was over jumping in here all talking about Texas football and Dallas and all this other stuff. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm surprised you're in here solo. Feel bad for you.
It's all good. It's all good. It's luckily when you've been off for 3 weeks, there's lots to talk about. So I will get to the Kyle Larson and keep the good stuff coming there on the Specs Text line, 512-337-3776. And I actually got a text from a friend of mine that he talking about the Texas situation, and I catch a lot of flack. My teams are Dallas, my teams are Texas, and my teams struggle. You know, there used to be an old bumper sticker, Cowboys and Longhorns nowhere else but in Texas, and a lot of Saturdays and Sundays I want to find that bumper sticker and add some derogatory stuff to the bottom of it. But you know, I'm tired. I mean, Dallas Cowboy fans, we live in the 90s. We talk about the Jimmy Johnson Super Bowl teams, and we talk about Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin like it was yesterday. I mean, that's what we do because we haven't had those highlights for a long time. Well, you know that 2005 Rose Bowl was a good long time ago. I'm not a you know, arithmetic major or anything, but 15 years ago. And that near miss in 2009, that was a long time ago. And I hear Casey and I hear VY and I hear all of these great stories, and I love hearing those stories. I love going back to those great days of Texas football. But what I go back to is I want to continue to hear those stories, but for crying out loud, give me some new stories, man. Let's make some new memories. That's really what it comes down to. I think what we're just grasping for here in Austin as Texas football followers is it's like, yeah, we had that Sugar Bowl win, but we've had some nice wins, but man, let's get those good, let's have those great memories. Let's make stuff happen that we can talk about in 15 years like we talk about the 2005 Rose Bowl. So I think that's really the underlying thing what we're wanting here. We want some stability, we want some defined leadership, and we want new memories, and we want wins. That's what we want. New stuff. As we've been off, I was talking about NASCAR in 2021. There was a drastic change to the NASCAR schedule announced just a few weeks back. And we did a podcast at revvedupsportsshow.com, and that was podcast there as well. But really didn't get to promote that the way that we really wanted to. But this 2021 NASCAR schedule has radically is actually the word that I use, changed. It has not changed like this probably since 1972. And 1972 was the year where NASCAR really went where the Winston cigarette brand became the title sponsor of NASCAR, and NASCAR went at the time it was more of a regional, local situation type sport. This is when it went to ABC's Wide World of Sports and, you know, some coverage of the Daytona 500. And you did have some NASCAR feel. It really started in 1972. That's when all of that had happened. And we've rolled along nicely. We've added tracks. There's been peaks and valleys. There's been era changes. There's been car changes. There's been all of these different things that we've watched since that time. But here in 2021, we see a drastic change in the schedule to where what the schedule has actually done. Right out of the box, the schedule, there's a race that's called a Clash. C-L-A-S-H. And what you do with that race is you take every pole winner, every winner that has won this Clash, and this was back, the Clash originated back in 1979 at Daytona International Speedway, which is where Speed Week starts, where the season begins for NASCAR. You run this race in 20, it's been run on the oval. There's been a lot of different variations of it. This race will go to the Daytona Road Course. And when you see that dramatic change at the beginning of the schedule, which this is not a points-paying race, this is just where guys get out and they get to race for about a measly $1 million, you know, poor guys, going to be on the road course, a drastic change, and you have moving parts and pieces. Daytona still starts the season. You don't go to the West Coast like you used to do. They're making it easier for the teams. You go from Daytona, Florida, then you go to Homestead, which that's a lot. It's a lot better field. You come off of that week and a half, 2 weeks at Daytona, and you just head over to Homestead. So that's the way all of that works. So you have that happening. Then you go on that West Coast swing. Then you go to the West Coast swing, and then parts and pieces fall in. And then the one that's the biggest for us, and I've got it already two times on the text line here this morning, the big one, NASCAR comes to Austin. NASCAR is actually coming to Austin. And that's something we've talked about on this program so many times before, the possibility of that happening. You've got that facility out there, and it's prime for the taking. And this Austin market, the music, although we haven't had it now, you've got the music atmosphere, you've got the food atmosphere, you've got the trendy things that happen in Austin. You've got old Austin, you've got new Austin, you've got domains, you've got the suburbs, you have all of this. And you've got this racetrack sitting out here off of 812. It will be home to a NASCAR race. And that is going to, I have for the longest time, when we had the revved up ATX concept to make NASCAR a racing town. So when this came down for crying out loud, I said, my work is done. My work is done. Austin is going to be a NASCAR town. And this is going to be tremendous. And I talked with B&E about this the day after this happened. We're not just going to have the Cup Series. We're going to have the trucks. We're going to have the Xfinity Series. It's going to be three Major League NASCAR races happening right here in Austin. And that's going to be May 23rd. That's going to be the weekend of May 23rd. That is huge. Texas Motor Speedway, there'd been a lot of back and forth with Eddie Gossage at Texas Motor Speedway. I'm actually talking to Eddie Gossage this Wednesday. It's one of the things that I will talk with him about. Eddie Gossage and his team weren't the biggest fans of having a COTA race on the schedule, 188 or 200 miles away, whatever it is. However, this is the way all of this works out. The moving parts and pieces that I always talk about with NASCAR and these big sanctions. Texas gets the All-Star Race. There is not a better place for the All-Star Race than Texas Motor Speedway. The All-Star Race, again, has seen several different format changes. You take all of the... It's an All-Star Race, but almost everybody gets in. It's almost where everybody gets a trophy. But there are some guys that get left out. But Texas Motor Speedway and Eddie Gossage, what they do, they can take a race of donkeys, friends. They can take a race with 25 donkeys and turn it into some sort of fanfare full of pomp and pristine. And that's what they're going to do with the All-Star Race. And that's what happens because the All-Star Race comes up. That's going to be June 16th, less than a month after they're here in Austin. All-Star Race shifts over there. That's the give and take a little bit. Then as it all comes out, we find out that SMI, Speedway Motorsports, that owns all of these racetracks, one of them being Texas Motor Speedway, will actually be the sanctioning body of the race here at COTA. So SMI comes in. COTA has just been hit rock hard this year, as have many businesses here in Austin and around the country. But COTA is one where you've had all of those, you know, top-notch concerts that we see out there at the amphitheater. All of that's gone by the wayside. Formula One gets postponed, canceled. The IndyCar race goes away as well early in the season. That was supposed to be back in March. That one goes away. So Bobby Epstein and the bunch there at COTA have just been hit tremendously out there. A facility that needs to have events happening. You're an entertainment facility. You can't have events. That's going to be drastic. It's going to be drastic. So this is a bit of a reprieve right here. And what I'm here to tell you is that bringing in this traveling road show that is NASCAR, this is something that's really going to get COTA a footing. They're not getting the IndyCar race back. COTA chose not to take on the IndyCar race with the 2021 schedule that came out for NTT IndyCars. But they do pick up this NASCAR weekend. And what you're going to see, here's what you can expect that you didn't see. You haven't seen it with Formula One. You didn't see it with IndyCar. What you need to prepare yourself for, if you're new to NASCAR and you want to have an idea what you're going to see the week leading into that, when NASCAR's done at Dover the week before, They're going to start heading down here to Texas, and what you're going to see, whether it be at Bass Pro Shops or all of these different locations that fund these multi-million dollar teams, you're going to see show cars sitting out there. You're going to be able to walk up and touch these cars. You're going to have driver appearances. There's just going to be so much fan interaction. The difference, what you don't get with Formula One, and Formula One is great. Formula One is great. It has it's just tremendous fan base, but this NASCAR is very hands-on, literally hands-on. You have access to these guys and ladies in fashions that you won't see. I've said it so many times. It's like you go to a football game and you want to get within 5 feet of Tom Brady. Good luck with that. You're probably going to be in the hooskow. That's what's going to happen with that. But you can get. It's a funny story. This is the access. This is the access that you have to NASCAR. This was, I think this was probably back in 2012, I'm going to say. This was in the height of Jimmy Johnson's just tremendous run, winning all of these championships as he's testing his IndyCar this week as he gets ready to exit from the NASCAR Cup Series. I'm in the pit area at Texas Motor Speedway. You can walk around there, you can get autographs, you can do whatever you want to do. They do have restrictions at various times. They do not want you in the garages. You can walk through the garages at whatever points, as long as if the time is okay. If the time is okay, you can walk right through there. I'm sitting in there, I'm walking out on the outer paddocks, as it would be called, and nobody in the garages, and I see the 48 car. I see the Lowe's 48 car, Jimmy Johnson, sitting right there. Hood's up on it. There's nobody around. There is nobody around this car. So, I mean, being the inquisitive, nosy-ass person that I am, I mean, I go walking up to the 48, and I'm looking under the hood, and I'm looking in the car, and, I mean, I'm touching this car and doing all of these different things. Never thinking that nobody's around. I probably shouldn't be doing this. I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's Chad Knaus, the 7-time winning crew chief there for Jimmy Johnson. He says, "What you doing, bud?" I said, "Just looking around." He's like, "I got some advice for you." And he tells me to get the F out in the nicest possible way, in the nicest possible way. But that's the access that you have to this. It's going to be a huge draw. Great call on the text line once again. It's going to be, you're going to bring in, and what NASCAR will also do, Formula One just brings a huge contingent with them from around the world, because it's a series that travels all over the world. NASCAR is obviously a United States based series. You are going to have people that want to come see this circuit of the Americas that they've heard tons and tons about, with this massive elevation changes that is in one of the largest, the quickest growing cities in the United States. It has all of this to offer, and this is where I look at this and I pray that at that point we are in a situation with our current pandemic that we are working through, to where these businesses and live entertainment venues and all of these others, hotels and motels, are able to be at a capacity where they can accommodate this. Because if this happens, especially on a first time through, when the series comes rolling through, if those businesses are able to sustain what is going to be coming, it's just going to be a huge hit for the economy right here in Austin. So this is a win-win in so many different ways for we NASCAR fans that are longing for it to be right here in our backyard, because it is. FM 812 is right down there. It is right there. Traffic's going to be interesting, but traffic in Austin is interesting anyway. That's something that you have to deal with wherever you're going to be. It's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. And Sam, I don't know. I'm going to have to double check this. Can I get a breaking news sounder here right quick? And one of our great listeners, female listener number 7, has just pointed out on the Specs text line. We'll jump over to that. And it's sounds like Nick Saban will be on the sidelines tonight. So we'll get that verified, but that's female listener number 7, so I'm not going to discredit that. I'm pretty much going to buy that as the story. But you had to figure, if he had 2 COVID tests back-to-back, that's going to be the situation there. So, there you go. Georgia and Alabama tonight with Nick on the sidelines. But back to this COTA situation, it's really going to be where NASCAR is going to hit a market that Austin and Nashville markets are a lot alike, with that music stuff, with the food. And NASCAR is going back to the Nashville market as well in 2021. That's a scheduled change that we saw. Dover gives up a date. The ownership group with Dover and the Nashville Super Speedway, it's the same conglomerate right there. So NASCAR, a lot of what this NASCAR schedule has done is they're going back to the old and getting in the new. And I'll dive into that just a little bit, and I will talk about Kyle Larson. You start asking about COTA, and that's definitely something that we have to touch on. So we will get to Kyle Larson, more of that NASCAR schedule. Old is new. That's really the theme to it. That's coming up on the other side. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Saturdays on the Horn, it is Revved Up ATX. Revved Up ATX, talking racing and talking all sorts of stuff today. Lots of topics happening, and it has been confirmed on the number one news source by my man Sam Pica on Twitter. This is from Pete DeMille. Upon evaluating today, Coach Saban remains completely asymptomatic. To address the potential for a false positive, the SEC Return to Activity and Medical Guidance Task Force protocol allows for follow-up testing to clear the individual's return to activity. The protocol requires 3 negative PCR tests 24 hours apart. Remained asymptomatic. He received his testing at 7 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, and today through the SEC-appointed lab. All of those are negative and were reported via the SEC's third-party testing provider to the conference office in Birmingham. Those 3 negative tests satisfied the SEC protocol for a false positive out of abundance for caution. 2 additional PCR tests were administered at the same time on Thursday and Friday and were tested by a separate lab. They were all negative. Nick Saban on the sidelines tonight. You heard it right here first on Revved Up ATX. You heard about Nick Saban on the sidelines on a racing show in Austin, Texas. How about that? That is how that works. So, and like I told Sam, great. And now he's pissed. Now he's irritated. So it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch, and what a story to follow there. That just adds more to the intrigue of 2020. Just everything that we've watched there, and it is Nick Saban on the sidelines tonight. But back to the NASCAR quickly. Let me button up that NASCAR schedule. What they've done, when I keep saying they're going from old to new, they are going back to 2 dates at Atlanta. Atlanta had only been 1 date. They're going back to 2 dates at Darlington. Darlington had only been 2 dates, although this year it was 3, but that was because of the COVID protocols and trying to get racing started up once again. And they're going back to Nashville. So that's the old. That's what they're doing right there. They're going back down to the hub. They're going back down south. When a lot of people think about NASCAR, you think about those southern states like that. You drop Chicago, you drop Kentucky off of the schedule. Those are some of those mile-and-a-half tracks that folks are not the biggest fans of, that maybe had some lackluster racing, but you go back to the south. But what you've done, you've added, obviously, Circuit of the Americas right here. You add Road America, the Brickyard 400, which is the race at Indianapolis that they've run on the historic oval there since 1994. That date will continue. August the 15th actually is now going to be the date of it, but that race is shifted over to the Indianapolis road course. So when it's all said and done, this NASCAR race schedule of 36 weeks and the balance of the playoffs will stay the same. The one change that is really great if you're a Texas race fan is Texas and Kansas flip their dates, so now Texas is ahead of Kansas in the playoff scenario, which what that does, quite frankly, is Texas has suffered in their fall date because it's always the same weekend that deer hunting season. When deer hunting season kicks off, it's been that same weekend. It's hurt the crowd count at TMS. Well, now they've added something else there that's going to help that. That's going to help that. They go a week before, and that's really good stuff there for TMS. So that is your schedule. I'll get that posted up at revvedupsportsshow.com and on the Horn Facebook page. You can really take a look at that. But the big news is NASCAR coming to Austin. It's going to be a huge draw. That's going to be a great weekend, and that's a road course. We saw them racing at that Roval that we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show. They raced on rain tires. NASCAR can't win for losing. For a long time, folks have said, we want to see these NASCAR cars on rain tires racing in the rain. They raced on rain tires in the rain last week in the Xfinity race. Folks hated it. It was awful. Race was terrible. So it is what it is. Damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. What I mean with that is this is a road course here at COTA. Rain tires will be in play, although we're going to be May 23rd. I'm not thinking that we're going to have to worry a lot about rain being a situation in the middle of May in Austin. But Kyle Larson situation. So if you're not familiar with that, Kyle Larson, the driver of the Chip Ganassi, was the driver of the Chip Ganassi Target Racing Credit One Bank Chevrolet car number 42. A couple of playoff appearances there for him. A modest amount of wins. probably one of the best race car drivers that you will see in the world is Kyle Larson. The guy, I put him right there with Kyle Busch. And actually right now I put Kyle Larson a little bit better because of the diversity of what he's been able to do. He, in April, was in an iRacing, a simulated iRacing event that was being televised. I don't know if it was on Twitch or where it was, but as this is going on, at one point there, Kyle Larson utters the N-word, and it just goes viral, and it's everywhere. And within 24 hours, he's lost his affiliation with Target. He's lost his affiliation with McDonald's. He's lost his affiliation with Credit One, as it usually happens. And within 48 hours, he has been suspended indefinitely from NASCAR, which that usually happens as well. And then finally, he is released from his ride with Chip Ganassi Racing, which he had been with them since his debut in NASCAR racing. So Kyle Larson goes back out, and he's out on the dirt track series. He's just burning up the World of Outlaws, which is a sprint car series. Jumps in a dirt late model, which is a totally different breed of dirt race car. First time ever in one of those. He wins a huge race in that as well. The guy is just extremely good. As all of this is happening, there hasn't been a lot of discussion as to what Kyle Larson has actually been doing when it comes back to trying to get reinstated into NASCAR. Well, as all of that starts to happen, you have all these moving parts and pieces. Clint Bowyer's walking away. That 14 car opens up. Probably going to be Chase Briscoe. That's a kid that we've had on these airwaves here with Revved Up ATX that is really good. He's most likely going to be the Xfinity champion. He's been in line there at Stewart Haas Racing. Alex Bowman has shifted over into the 48. He'll drive the Ally Chevrolet, the Jimmy Johnson car. He'll take over for seven-time champ Jimmy Johnson when Jimmy exits at the end of this regular season. Ross Chastain, Revved Up Sports Show driver of the year last year, also a guy that we have talked to. He goes into the 42 seat, which is something that I actually called on this program that should happen. He's been in line for that the longest time. So there's still an opening at Hendrick Motorsports. Hendrick Motorsports is a four-car team. There's one vacant seat there right now if that team is going to continue with four teams, which is, I've said since day one, is going to be the case. Well, we see on Thursday, CBS This Morning, we see all of these different programs, you know, these morning shows that tackle these issues that have come to light here that need to be dealt with. Kyle Larson is on that program, and he's talking to James Brown. He's talking to James Brown, not the singer. If he's talking to James Brown, that would be incredible because the guy's dead. Last I checked, he's talking to James Brown from the NFL Today fame. You know that's he's a special correspondent for CBS News, and they are deeply discussing this whole situation. And Kyle Larson looked point blank, looking him right in the eye, and admitting how wrong he was, and how horrible that was, and how this affected his life, and just the traumatic experience how this affected Kyle Larson. And every message that I had seen from Kyle Larson, I had no doubt that he felt this way. But when you see that, and James Brown on record tells the other reporter, he said, "This man looks me right in the eye and tells me how horrible he feels about what he did, how he knows what he did was wrong, and how he helped, you know, throw fire onto an already situation that is, you know, wrecking society right now." We see this, and then we find out, it comes out after the fact, that Kyle Larson early in the week has applied for reinstatement with NASCAR. So the moving parts and pieces here, that's a word that I say a lot this time of year when it comes to NASCAR racing. The pieces are telling me that at some point Kyle Larson is going to be in one of those Hendrick Chevrolets. And although he's going to go about it in a way, in just a horrible way, in a way that I guarantee you he would not want to do, that if he had to do all of this over again, he would still be driving the 42 car for Ganassi Racing. With all the trials and tribulations, just something that we need to think about when you own up to what you've done, when you've done something wrong, and when you pay the price, and when you go back and you ask for forgiveness, possibly things are going to happen that help you in the long run, because he's going to go, most likely, going to go into one of the best seats in racing. And when you put this guy into one of those cars with those engines, that package, this car package that NASCAR is using right now fits Kyle Larson. The guy is just a flat-out wheel man. The guy's a shoe. That's what you call a guy that can just wheel. You call him a shoe. Kyle Larson is probably the best shoe in the game right now. And he's most likely going to be in a Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet as long as he gets reinstated. NASCAR is reviewing all of that, and they will come to some sort of conclusion, announcement, decision coming up here in the very near future. Also goes without saying, some of the things that Kyle Larson talked about in there, Kyle Larson has gone, and he's gone to African-American, well-versed African-American figures and spoken with them and talked with them and learned more about this situation and learned about what folks have had to deal with. He's gone to African-American, whether it be statues or museums or whatever it may be, he's gone and he's learned about this. And the remorse is there. He's ready to move on. But at the same time, he understands what he's done. And we need to see a lot more of that happening. We need to see a lot more of that happening, not just in sports, but just in just the world in general. So Kyle Larson, he's on his way back. He's definitely on his way back. Also, some rumors this week that possibly Erik Jones. I'll take you into Pit Stop News and Notes here as we work towards the top of the hour coming up. Mr. TC Speaks will be coming up. Always great stuff there from Tyler Campbell as he will come in. I jump out of the seat here in the studio, get in the car, turn up TC, start driving, and I'll tell you what, after I'm done listening to TC, I feel a heck of a lot better than when I turn that thing on. I'm here to tell you for crying out loud. But it looks like the 43 car possibly going to be Erik Jones that will jump into that as we lead off your Pit Stop News and Notes. That is the Richard Petty car being vacated there by Bubba Wallace as he will go over to the Michael Jordan team. Jimmy Johnson testing the Indy car for Chip Ganassi Racing this week. It was also announced this week Felix Rosenquist will no longer drive for Ganassi in the IndyCar series. It's actually the car that Jimmy Johnson has been testing, ironically. Jimmy Johnson not wanting to run ovals. He wants to run street courses and road courses. Not all about these Indianapolises and these speed plants and so forth. Rosenquist is going to go to Arrow McLaren. That seat was opened up as Indy Lights driver Oliver Askew, who has had just a rough go this year. He had a horrendous crash at Indianapolis, started feeling some after effects a couple of weeks thereafter. He's been out of the seat. It was announced earlier in the week that Askew would not be back with Errol McLaren. That opens up the seat. Rosenquist moves over. That's a little bit of a surprise right there. But when you figure you've got Scott Dixon and Jimmy Johnson, guys that are in their early to mid-40s, two of the living legends in any motorsport in the United States right now, if not the world, racing under one team. That's pretty good stuff right there. Friends, NHRA, it is the Fall Nationals at Texas Motorplex. If you're an NHRA fan, Fox will have your coverage. Cotton Bowl Speedway, Oktoberfest, two-night event going on over in Page. They raced last night. They qualified them. They race the main events tonight. If you're an asphalt person, Houston Motorsports Park, the Texas Short Track Racing Series, that's going to be some good stuff happening at Houston. Quarter Midget Nationals coming up here next week. We'll talk about that next week on the program. For Sam, I'm Rodney. Friends, be nice to someone. You never know what they're going through. You're going to feel better as well afterwards. Remember, let's take care of one another. It's Revved Up ATX, Saturdays right here on the Horn.